Sports Talk Radio for the Brainerd Lakes. 1380 KLIZ AM. Brainerd Baxter, the fan.
It's time for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, the fan. Featuring Colin McDonald and Chris Foley. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Craigan's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. And now, here's Chris Foley and Colin McDonald.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ, the fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and now on Podcast One as well. Streaming thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2019 Buicks. Chris, welcome back. Another week and a huge week for golf in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, big week. We've got the 3M Open this week as we tape. They're playing the Pro-Am, but we'll have the Saturday around by the time of this broadcast. But great week in the Twin Cities for golf. You know, two out of the last 3 weeks having a ladies major. Now the PGA Tour returns to the Twin Cities.
Fans of the fan have probably heard the common man, but he played in the Pro-Am today. And he, of course, he always talks about his golf game because not only it eggs on listeners who don't want him to talk about his golf game, but his sidekick loves it too. So evidently hit his first shot in the Pro-Am 40 yards, and the pros with him said, well, you know, in the fairway, nice going, and he gets down there, and it didn't make it to the fairway. It was about 2 feet short, and then he said, I took out a 6-iron, and we said it was buried deep. He said it took a hack at it and went about a foot. So now I'm 40 yards, 1 foot after two. Hits a 6-iron down and reaches the green, and he's got about a 12-footer. The caddy of the pro says, you're not really going to grind that 12-footer out for a double bogey, are you? He says, watch me. And he buried the 12-footer with the fist pump.
That away.
Got the double. To start.
Way to go, Common.
Yeah, this be interesting to see the results. Boy, in Detroit last week, we were just talking off mic. Nate Lashley wins, and just a great story. 25 under par, got some tragedy in his life, and has overcome a lot. And one of those guys who kind of proof in the pudding from a teacher's perspective like yourself, Chris, this guy gradually found a way to get better. He's 36 years old and frankly wasn't good enough to be on the tour for probably, you know, 6 or 8 years. Plays on smaller tours and grinds and grinds and grinds, gets better. Latin American Tour, he's player of the year. Comes, had an 8th place finish this year, but he's never done anything like this.
No, and he gets in as an alternate. So, you know, he's got full tour privileges, but, you know, as his ranking is low enough where he doesn't get into every event, gets in last minute and has just a tremendous finish. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, but one of the biggest traits of champions is that emotional resilience, both on and off the golf course.
So, yeah.
Played in, just about every major tour around the world, the Latino American Tour, the Canadian Tour, European Tour, and, has just pursued and gotten a little better every year.
So. Yeah, and that just unique and sad and great story, the game that has given him everything, basically, and took everything from him, too.
Yeah.
His parents come out to watch a tournament when he's at University of Arizona, and his girlfriend, who he's been with since high school. And they all three get killed on the way back from the tournament after watching him play, which is in the plane crash. So
tough deal.
Golf kind of took his life away in a way, and has made his life too. So yeah, wall to wall, he leads it, and exemptions now for 2 years, all the majors he gets to play in.
Yeah,
how great!
Oh, that's a great story.
He was emotional at the end, of course. It was a wonderful story to see. So that was very cool. The 3M now, and Blaine. I have a feeling they'll probably treat it a little bit like Detroit. I would think they'll. Have you seen any numbers on what they think they might shoot? I would guess they'll go pretty low.
You know, I would guess they'll be somewhere in the 20 under area. You know, on the Champions Tour, they generally shot, you know, 14 to 16 under. The golf course is about 500 yards longer than it had been for the regular tour. They're playing at about 7,400 yards. So they've added, I think they've added length to 12 different holes. They've redone the bunkers. About the only thing that they haven't redone at TPC is the greens. But they've recontoured a lot of fairways. They said the rough is very thick and they've narrowed the fairways. So
yeah,
it'll be fun. Tom Lehman did the redesign work, and it's gonna be a fun event. They've got a great field.
Yeah, you get to see some of the best in the world. Well, Koepka's there. He probably is the best in the world right now, and he'll be there. It'd be fun just to see those guys. And one of the things that's kind of fun, I think, people in a lot of towns where they have tournaments, and the general public can kind of go out next week, and if you want to play the blacks, and just see what you would shoot, and see how difficult this game is for these, that, and how good these guys are.
Yeah, that's right. There's a group of Brainerd guys that were down there last week playing, and one in particular said, he said he couldn't advance the ball out of the rough.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. He said about the longest club he could have out of the rough was about a pitching wedge or 9-iron. He said otherwise he had no chance. And, you know, it's pretty standard fare on the PGA Tour, the length of the rough that they have. I think it is a bit thicker than they typically encounter with all the rain we've had, and especially the little warmer, humid weather this week. So it'll be fun to see, and it's always fun to see a golf course that you're familiar with.
And the type of grass we have in Minnesota, even people who have played any of the great courses up here, the Classic and the Pines, and so many, Rutgers and Maddens and Cragans, of course. If you get for sure second cut, even if you get in the first cut, if they haven't cut it in a few days, the grass is thick up here.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean,
it's thick and it sits down, and
There's a big difference between being in the fairway and in the rough.
Well, I mean, that's why you look at a guy like Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy, who is, you know, they're so strong.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger advantage rather than distance for those guys, even though they are extremely long, is that they don't have any trouble out of that rough. I mean, it's, when you're that strong, you can just power through it.
And, yeah.
A lot easier. different game than we play.
We've got some good guests today. Tim Trott's going to join us, and Tim's at Crosswoods, and just a heck of a good guy, another guy in the golf business that's just a really, really good guy to talk to. And then we've got a friend of yours as well.
My friend Tom Roth from San Antonio, who's in charge of the U.S. Junior Golf Team and now is the agent of Roberto Diaz on the PGA Tour.
Oh, nice. Good. We'll be back with that and more right after this on Lakes, Woods, and Irons.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com and now available on Podcast One. Special guest, local guy, a lot of you know him, and if you play Crosswoods, you know him. Tim Trott, head professional at Crosswoods. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, Mackie. Good to see you, and good to talk to you, I should say.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. It's, you know, I saw you the other day, and I thought, geez, we have not had Tim on the golf show. If we have, it's been a long time, so I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no problem. No, this, I think, is a first for me. I guess, I don't remember if we talked when I was at Golden Eagle or not, but anyway, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us about your background. You and I have known each other since 1997 when we worked at the Classic together, and tell us, you've been involved in the local golf scene for a long time.
That was, yeah, correct. I moved back. I actually went to San Diego and attended the San Diego Golf Academy, where I earned my AA degree in business management. Of course, it's a program geared towards golf course operation and management, and, you know, they teach you how to teach and run a golf course. Pretty much what we do every day. So it was a fun way to go to school. And after I graduated, I attempted a Golden State Tour for a few years and donated a lot of entry fees. So decided time to move back home and get a real job that paid money. So I moved back in 96, where I started at Maddens. And like you said, Chris, I think you joined us in 97. and worked there till 2002, I believe, and went up to become Golden Eagle's first golf pro when they opened up. And on and off, spent 10 years there and did some building in the winter and found out that that was a little too hard on the body. So I went back to Golden Eagle, and they, a few years ago, changed hands. And Mike and Kelly here at Crosswoods have been after me for a while to come down, and it just made sense. The timing was right. The move was right. And here I am. This is my third season, and it's busy as ever. My lessons have increased by, 20%, maybe 30% over last year, and last year was a record year. So, yeah, it's good. I like being busy. I like it when people are around, and it definitely is that year.
Well, Crosswoods is definitely one of the busiest courses in the area, and the Stones have done a great job of expanding that golf course and promoting golf in the area. And for those who don't know about the golf course, tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's 27 holes. Like you said, they added a new nine. They call it Sunrise, High Noon, and our back nine would be Sunset. And for me, being in the business, I love it because when we get a slower group, we can just encourage them to go to a different nine, and we don't have to be mean to them, but we just send them over there, and the pace moves along. And they're all three equally scenic. I think they're carved out of the woods. We have Sunrise that has a 100-acre lake on it that the couple of holes go down to. Sunset's our original back nine, and that's right downtown Cross Lake, pretty much. So we get a lot of play. We get a lot of people just stopping in because it's right there off of three. It's really easy to get to. And, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but this spring he plowed the Sunset 9 again. He plowed the driving range February 19th and invited the high schools to come out and hit range balls.
Yeah, so nice.
We were open at the end of February, and he opened Sunset 9 March 22nd. And for about 2 weeks, I think it was, we were the only golf course in the state open.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was busy. So, yeah, Mike's he can be a little nuts, I think, but we're all excited to get out and be on the grass. It beats hitting in the indoors, and I think he's gonna do it every year he can. And it was well worth it. Put it that way, we were very busy.
Debbie, a lot of people in the audience know what a good player you were when you started this career here. Let's go back just to the satellite tour for just a second, just to explain how tough this game is and how good you got to be. Where were you in your own mind about how close you maybe came on that tour?
Well, I thought, I was a plus 1.8 index. That was my best, lowest handicap ever. And I had one third-place finish in almost 5 years of competing.
Yeah.
It's that tough. Coming from Minnesota to San Diego, where I played very little in the summer, and they played year-round, they had a big, big competitive edge on me. They were, used to playing longer, more difficult golf courses that I was not. So that was, it was a struggle. I soon learned that I wasn't as good as I thought I was, I guess you'd say. There's so many good players. But on the other hand, I can say, look, I tried it. And I know I wasn't good enough, rather than looking back saying, what if I'd have tried? I guess it was fun, but I wasn't for me. I wasn't going to make it.
Sure. Well, you got a great family now and a great area to live and teach and work. It's awesome. Yeah. Would you say the indoor technology now, Tim, has been a nice advantage for Minnesota and northern players who can't necessarily play year-round?
It is. The track pads and all the new simulators that they have, they're so much more realistic, and more accurate, I should say, too, so you can actually work on your game. Mike has an indoor practice facility here at Crosswoods as well, and when Savannah coaches the team, we can have 2 feet of snow outside and be inside chipping and putting and hitting balls out the back door out into the eighth fairway.
Nice, yeah.
Definitely a nice addition that they have. And, our members can go use that if they want as well and chip and putt. So it's a really nice little added feature.
Tim, Crosswoods, you have any, you know, tell us about your rates, and I know you have a number of leagues that you host and junior golf programs, those type of things.
We do, yeah. Our junior program is, we're running it every Monday for 6 weeks. I think we have 2 weeks left, and it's a lot of fun. The kids come out. We teach all ages. I think there's 29 kids. We go in different age groups so we can kind of give a little more instruction to the more advanced players and basic instruction to the beginners. And, you know, it lasts for an hour and a half, and at the end they love it because we supply them with pizza every week. So some of them are here just for the pizza, I'm sure, but we hope that they do learn and take stuff away from what we're teaching them. We have many leagues. Men's league goes on Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30 a.m. shotguns both days. The ladies have 18-hole league on Monday morning, and they shotgun at 8:30, and a 9-hole league at 8:30 on Wednesday morning. Tuesday night, we do Moonlight Bay Golf League, where the local restaurant and their patrons and employees and a bunch of our members get together and do a two-person scramble, and then they meet up at Moonlight for the nightly payout. Wednesday night, we have a couples mixer. Anybody's free to just show up and join. They pair you up, and out you go. So we definitely keep busy. We have a Mike Wilder fundraiser tournament coming up in August, and it's never a day, the dull day at Crosswoods. It's always always busy. But having said that, like today, we're going to do, this is July 3rd, we'll do 330, 340 rounds today. And my pace of play, I'm out monitoring it now, is about an hour and 50 minutes for the front nine. So we're going to be under 4 hours on a busy holiday week. That's pretty good.
Oh, that's great
stuff. Yeah, that's really good. A little premium on accuracy. You have a fair amount of trees at Crosswoods.
There is, yeah. But if you do, you know, I always kind of joke around to the beginner or the first timer, I should say, if they always ask, well, what's the secret? And I say, well, hit it where you see to hit it. And they laugh, but it makes sense, because if you cut corners out here, you can lose your golf ball in a hurry. So like you said, it does. The accuracy is more important here than distance. The distance can get you into trouble. And you were asking about our rates. You know, Monday through Thursday during the week, our seniors play 18 holes with a cart for $32. So it's pretty hard to beat, and $47 for the general public.
That's great.
Great value.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. We got all brand new carts on the Easy Goes, just like the Legacy has. So we're really happy with them. It's definitely worth a trip to Cross Lake and Crosswoods if you have not been here.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is the sponsor of our 19th hole on Lakes, Woods, and Irons, and I would guess after a 3 hour and 45 minute round on a busy day, you might be able to stop in, get something to eat, and maybe have a cool one, Tim?
Boy, it's funny you say that. We do have a full restaurant. Well, not a full restaurant, full bar, and we do sell a lot of Tito's, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
Yes, Tito's and lemonade, for some reason, this week has been very popular. Well, we do have burger baskets, and we do deli sandwiches, hot dogs, brats. You know, it's your average, I guess, bar or clubhouse grill. And, you know, they're really quick about it. It doesn't take long. You can, if you're out here and you want to order on the turn, we bring it right out to you. They've got it figured out, Mike and Kelly. They know what they're doing, and we're full-service industry, I guess, up here.
Yeah, service first. That's very important. Tim, a lot of guys in golf, you'll ask, you know, do you ever get a hole-in-one, Mackie, or do you ever get a hole-in-one, Chris? And a person will say, like I had one like 5 years ago. I say, yeah, I had about 110-yard hole-in-one once, and other people go, never had one, or I've had one. And if we ask you that same question, Tim, what would the answer be?
Well, I get embarrassed when I get asked.
Oh, shucks.
It's been a while. I haven't had one. I'm on a three-and-a-half-year drought, but I do have 19 true hole-in-ones.
That's pretty good.
The thing I'm most proud about it is I played a lot of golf by myself. You know, you get done in the shop and you want to get a quick nine, and I was always afraid I'd hit a hole-in-one alone, and that never happened. I've always had witnesses for all 19, so I think that's pretty good. But I was close last year, and even this year at league at the Legacy, I hit one to about a half inch on Bobby's number nine, but that's the closest.
You never get a break, do you, Tim?
I don't. I just can't get that next one, Chris. I'm
going for it. Going for 20, yeah.
The wind was blowing the wrong direction.
Right. Chris, if I asked you that same question, would you know the answer?
I had three.
Three?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with three.
Two of them were good ones.
Two of them were good ones?
Yeah.
Well, I know what you're saying. I did have one that I had bladed a four iron, and it was uphill, and it was, 10 feet in the air, and it hit the pin and went in. So, but, you know, all 19 of them are, you remember each one of them.
Sure, I bet, yeah.
That feeling when the ball disappears, that just happened. So I don't get as excited as I used to, but I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah, I bet. We had a group I played with for many years, probably 6-8 guys, and the worst guy in the group happens to be my best friend in my life, probably, and he hit a... None of us had ever had a hole-in-one at that point. He hit a screaming 5-iron directly right, and it just kept slicing and slicing and slicing and ran up on the green and hit the pin and dropped in. None of us could believe it. So he had the bragging rights.
You know, Mackie, on the scorecard, there is no pictures of hole-in-one. It says one.
That's right.
Yeah, then and it's the only time you get to go any zeros when you get to the next tee.
Yep, that's right.
Tim, thanks for taking the time. And you want to invite some people up. I know you give lessons. Your schedule's filling up, but still time for that?
Absolutely, yep. I'm here 6 to 7 days a week this time of year, and I do teach quite often. I try to do it after my shift or before, but, you know, just 218-692 golf or 4653 is Crosswood's phone number, and you can get a hold of me there pretty much 6 days a week at this time of the year.
Sure. And your little ones, are they going to be out on the course like Mr. Foley's are?
I'm sorry, Mackie, I didn't hear that.
I say you've got the little ones. Are they going to be out on the course like Mr. Foley's kids have enjoyed the life in golf?
They are. My oldest is actually going to Lake Superior College in August.
Yeah. I've known you since he was born.
Yes, and he's going to college. He's going to be an airline pilot, Mackie.
Nice.
So mom won't let him drive on icy roads, but he can fly planes. Takes a little getting used to, but no, we're proud of him. That's going to be a good career for him. And they do play a lot of golf. They play up here in the leagues when they can get out. We still see Chris down at the Legacy quite often and try to get out as much as I can with him because, like you said, there in August he's going to be off to college and it'll be just my youngest Connor. But we'll still get to play. That's the beauty of golf. You can play it basically for your whole life.
Awesome. Well, Tim, we appreciate you coming on the show and have a great holiday weekend here.
Yes, thanks, Chris. Same to you. And Mackie, same to you. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tim.
You bet. Thank you.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Also now available at Podcast One. And streaming brought your way by Mills GM, the home of affordable luxury, the 2019 Buicks. Chris, special guest, and I'll let you handle the introductions.
Yeah, I want to introduce one of my great friends in golf and life, Tom Rolfe from San Antonio, Texas. Tom's the founder of the U.S. Junior National Team and has a great background in golf. He used to be the Mexican national coach and has been a head pro and director of golf and a great teacher. And so welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to have you on. You're kind of in a new endeavor in your golf career. You're now a player representative for Roberto Diaz.
Yeah. That is something new for me, absolutely. And I know you and I had talked about this before, Chris, but in my previous life, when I was coaching a lot, I had the opportunity to spend 5 or 6 years as Roberto's coach on the national team. And as his career has progressed onto the PGA Tour, he had a situation where he was looking for an agent and he called me last fall and asked if I'd do it. And I joked with him. I said, Roberto, I'm not an agent. I don't know what to do. And it was interesting to me. He said, you know, first and foremost, I need somebody that I can trust. And here I am representing Roberto now and one other fellow on the, I guess now the Corn Ferry Tour, who also was on our Mexico national team. So it's kind of funny how it goes full circle in our business and in life.
Absolutely. Tom, what you know, we hear about player agents and reps, but what are your responsibilities? What do you do for the players you represent?
Yeah, you know, I think, Chris, it's probably a little bit different maybe with each player. And you know, I'm literally a two-person show myself, and I have one lady that does some admin stuff for us. So we're really, really small and represent two players. So we do whatever the player asks. I know a lot of the big agencies are doing, I mean, literally running their day-to-day life, paying their house payment, car payment, doing everything. My role is more mentoring Roberto and Oscar, I would say, and then going and finding deals for them and really managing their business affairs. So I'm not so much involved with on-course performance as I am with just trying to run their business. So that's negotiating contracts for them, whether it's, you know, a bag deal, a hat deal, an equipment deal, appearance fees, doing special events. So the guys, you know, I think there's four full-time PGA Tour members now from Mexico, which is more than there's ever been. So the Hispanic market is pretty intrigued with these guys, and they've all had some wonderful opportunities. You know, the corporate Mexico has really stepped up and supported these guys, which is great. So really, that's what a lot of my time is doing, working on their behalf to try and secure deals for them.
You know, having coached Tom yourself so much of your career, and I would guess just taking those kind of decisions off of a player's plate and letting them concentrate, especially at this early stage of their career where they're trying to really break in, it's very important that they maybe not have distractions, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, you know, I think if an agent or everybody sort of does their job, but specifically an agent, and you can, I think for these guys, the biggest thing is making sure they have a job. So they've got a tremendous amount of pressure, making sure they finish in that top 125 and they have a place to play is obviously paramount to them. So whatever you can do to clear their mind and make sure they're not worried about damn near anything is really, I think, what we're supposed to try and do for them. So to your point, yeah, that's just letting them be freed up and go play is probably the best thing we can do to help them.
Yeah, that's neat. Well, Roberto, I think, had his best finish of the year 2 weeks ago at the Travelers Championship. Did he finish eighth place? Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, he finished tied for eighth. Actually, funny, he tied with Abraham Anser, who's both guys are members here at Oak Hills Country Club in San Antonio. And they're actually roommates, although Roberto just bought his first home. But for the past year, they've lived together, so it was kind of funny. They tied for eighth together. But yeah, he had a great finish. He went into that last day. He was in the second to last group, and he told me he was really, really amped up and hit his approach shot on one and two over the green and made two bogeys. But then he fought back and played three under the rest of the way, and he's had a top eight finish. That's his tied for eighth finish. That's his best finish on the tour. Twice this year, he's been the last, Puerto Rico, he was in the last group and didn't have his best day, but to get in that situation twice now is good for him. And with five or six events left in the year, hopefully he'll finish the year off strong. And, you know, there's a bunch of new tournaments on the PGA Tour for the 2019-2020 season, and the fall schedule is even busier than ever for these guys. So
right.
Hopefully he can get business taken care of in the next few weeks.
Oh, that's great.
That part of the tour in the fall is nice for guys like Roberto, I would think, and just that maybe some of the big names take maybe a month off or 6 weeks or whatever it might be, but opens up a few slots to get into some of those tournaments.
Yeah, you know, I think some of the some of the bigger events, you know, Vegas seems to be a popular one, but there's some new events. Houston's back on the schedule this fall, which I guess we're not sure what that field's going to look like. But yeah, anytime these guys get a chance to get a start, it's so valuable. And anything can happen, as everyone knows. These guys are all so damn good.
Tom,
if they get it going, anything can happen.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. And, you know, I think a lot of people, Roberto has his full tour card, but what I don't think a lot of people don't realize is that doesn't necessarily give you the privilege to play every single week. And last week we had Nate Langley win, and just before the Masters, Corey Connors won. Nate was an alternate in the field. Corey Monday qualified, even though he has his tour card. Roberto hasn't been able to get in all the events. How does that status work, where and how they get to play in different events?
Yeah, so it's actually somewhat complicated, you know. So there's 125 guys that have what they call full status. So those top 125 on the FedEx Cup from the previous year can play in anything they want, with the exception of the Masters and the World Golf events. So those World Golf events are typically, you know, around top 72 off the FedEx Cup get in, and then there's a lot of international spots. But for regular PGA Tour events, when we're on daylight savings time, they have fields that are 156 players, and then in the winter and the fall, when the days are a little shorter, the fields are as small as 132. So the simplest way I could explain it is, if there's 156 open spots, those guys that finish 1 through 125 have the opportunity to say yes or no to play in a particular tournament. And then there's around 26 different categories after that. So there's guys that are on major medical exemptions, and they have an opportunity to play. And then there's past champions. So, for example, if someone isn't in the top 125, but 8 years ago they won the Masters, they would still have a couple of years of eligibility where, as a major winner, they could fill spots. And it continues down that list until you get to a category called, I believe it's category 25, which is guys that finished either top 25 on what was the web.com tour money list, or top 25 from the web.com playoffs. So essentially there's 50 guys in that category. And that's the category Roberto gained his PGA Tour card on, was that top 25 in the web.com playoffs. So there's really probably, I'm going to say, 225 guys that can say yes or no to a tournament before Roberto gets a chance to get in. And not unlike Nate Lashley, the same thing. He's in a category called 126 to 150, where he just finished outside of the 125 on the FedEx Cup last year, doesn't have full status, didn't make it through the web.com playoffs. So his category is even further back than Roberto's has been. So Nate tried to Monday qualify last week, missed the Monday qualifier, and ended up just getting in the day before
when
he withdrew.
What a story. And then, he's not 126 anymore.
It's for those guys, you know, especially, you know. And then there's five different they call it reorder now. So let's say a player's number two on the money list coming off the web.com tour, and another player's 50th. That guy that's number two, he gets access to these tournaments before number 50 does. Number 50's got to wait for 48 guys to say yes or no.
Sure.
But after every 5 weeks, they have a reshuffle or a reorder. So if that guy got into a tournament and he was number 50th and he has a top 10 finish, and that guy that was number two, they don't make a cut, they reshuffle and the priority changes. So you really have to play good to keep your status and get into events.
Boy, no kidding.
I guess what it boils down to. And when you get a chance, you have to be ready, because you don't know when you get another chance.
It just shows you, a guy like Dustin Johnson, who had made 47 straight cuts before missing last week, how impressive that is.
Yeah, it is impressive, and they're all so good. I think when those guys sort of get in that top 50, top 60 in the world where they don't have money issues. They get in all the world golf events where there's no cut. So they know they're going to accumulate money and FedEx Cup points. I think that frees them up a bunch, too,
I bet.
To play golf. Again, I really think just not having the money issues is massive for these guys.
Sure. Now, Roberto, it sounds like he's the kind of player, you said he's been in the final two groups twice this year, so he's the kind of guy that can get going and go low for two or three or four rounds in a row, because to be in that last group or second to last group, we've obviously had three really good rounds of golf before that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's he can play for sure. I mean, everyone that's out there can really play, and I think it's a matter of getting comfortable in that position out there on tour. He's got a lot more security now than he's probably had. Even a year ago, he's got a lot of great sponsors now, so financially he's in a great place, and that just frees him up to hopefully play really good golf. But yeah, you know, it's been a learning experience for me. Like Chris says, we've all been in the game a long, long time, but as an agent, it's sort of a different animal. Just seeing the pressure that's put on these guys. And I find, you know, you even got to be careful what you say to them. You know, you don't want to say anything that makes them second guess anything.
Right. Absolutely. Sure.
So I really try and stay in my lane. You know, he's got a great short game coach and he's got a swing coach and two different people. And I find myself kind of having to bite my tongue and not, you know, just play that role of an agent. And
you got a lot of coach in you, Tom.
Yeah. But it's hard. You know, it's hard to keep your mouth shut, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I've taught and coached for 25 years. I know what to tell them, but it might not be the right thing. And so it's interesting for sure. I've really enjoyed it. It's been fun.
That's great. Tom, what's Roberto's current rank on the FedEx?
I think now, you know, it fluctuates obviously week to week. I think he's 150 or 152. So he's got to get to that 125 or better. So I think five events left to go, and hopefully he can take care of business this week in Minneapolis. Would be great. Speaking with him yesterday, and I guess they maybe did a number of renovations, Chris, since we were there last.
Yes.
During Ryder Cup. He told me it's really long.
Yeah, they've lengthened it by almost 600 yards. They actually moved 12 tee boxes, and
wow.
They've recontoured a lot of the fairways, and they didn't do anything to the greens, but recontoured the fairways, redid most of the bunkers, and added 12 tee boxes. So it's
He said it was long. So we'll see. Yeah, it's you know, he hits it far. He's not Koepka or DJ long, but he knocks it out there 300 yards. But you know, when you get to 7,400 yards, that's a long golf course for him. But like I said, all of these guys are so good. They sometimes it amazes me. They almost hit it closer with a 5-iron than they do with a pitching wedge. Sometimes they just get so dialed in. And when they get on a roll, I think, you know, as an agent, that's what I just hope for. You get on, you just need 4 days where everything clicks, and you know, you literally can set yourself up for a long, long time.
One week can change your life, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, Tom, great stuff. We'll be rooting for Roberto this weekend in Minneapolis, and let's get him down in that top 100 in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Yeah, it'll be a long 5 weeks for him, 5 weeks in a row, but all good problems to have for sure.
Yeah, he's got the momentum going his way for sure. So
yeah, great.
Well, good stuff, Tom. Well, I appreciate you joining us and sharing your knowledge.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
That's Tom Rolfe, and pleasure talking to him. And just that's quite a bit of good information there.
That's
I didn't know a lot of that stuff. We've got. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Mills GM. and also available now at Podcast One and really any podcast location. Thanks to our guest, Tom Rolfe, who is kind of segueing in his career into golf agent sort of thing. I'm guessing he could still teach if he needed to.
Yeah, Tom does a lot of really cool things in the world of golf. Tom's who I go and work for at the Masters every year, and he has his hands in a lot of different arenas in the game, so it's pretty cool.
And Tim Trott, just another of those guys we talk about in golf, wonderful guy. You can go see Tim at Crosswoods or see him at the Legacy often playing. Great player, good teacher, so pleasure to have those guys on. I saw Amy, your lovely bride, posted a article today that I'm sure you probably put up, but she shared it, and that's where I saw it first. Participation in golf up for the first time in 14 years, which here I don't think we've been affected as much, but that's great news.
Yeah, it really is good news, and you know, those who know me know I talk about it a lot, but you know, the media world is really recycles a lot of doom and gloom news on the world of golf. But the last few years, especially the game of golf, I felt has been really on the uptick. And in our area, the game of golf is extremely healthy. But it was really nice to see for the first time in 14 years, participation in the game is up. And I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, some of the growth of the game, programs that the PGA of America and the USGA have going. And it doesn't hurt that a guy like Tiger Woods wins the Masters.
No, it doesn't hurt, yeah.
And, you know, we've got all these great young players and you know, having things in the Twin Cities like the LPGA Championship and the 3M definitely pique people's interest in the game. So there's a lot of positive, more and more positive things going on in the world of golf and that I'm seeing.
Good young rivalries, great players from all over the world, maybe, and particularly guys like Rory, Dustin, Spieth, Koepka of late, in particular. Tiger comes back and wins. DeChambeau, some very interesting characters, some good potential rivalries on the horizon. I mean, if Spieth gets back to being Spieth with four majors, and Rory as well, and Koepka, just those three guys have three or four majors each, and they're young guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, young guys and a great crop of young players that are just coming onto the scene. Matthew Wolff and you know, Victor Hovland and some of the rookies that are trying to make their way on the tour. There's just some tremendous talent that just spark more interest in the game.
Whole bunch of young players out there that spark, I think, some interest among other young players. I don't know if Phil didn't say it best, you know, early in the season, you know, hitting it long. He's 48 years old, 49 years old, and he loves bombing it, and so does every kid who wants to play golf.
That's right. We just got done with our junior golf program, or before I came into tape today, our Wednesday program, and that's all they want to do is hit the driver, which is all right.
That's a good way to start, yeah. But let's go the other way from a teaching perspective, Chris. I've been you know, heard me the last couple of weeks complaining about how my game eluded me. It's gotten, you know, I think I said, well, the first two rounds of the year were 54. I played a couple nines, and you know, that makes you want to go home. had a 43 the other night and made a couple putts. And it's a funny game because you make a couple putts, which is, I had a 45 the week before and didn't feel like great about it. 43 with a couple putts going in, and maybe you hit three really nice shots in the round. Perfect shots for me.
Yeah,
you do that, and you think, well, I can do this.
This game isn't that hard.
Yeah, yeah. But let's talk about that 100 yards and in, 60 yard shots, so crucial. And early in the season for me, not early in the season for most people, but a short game, we just don't practice it enough, do we?
No, we don't practice it enough, and you know, the full swing shots are much easier to execute and to get back when you're off, because you know your 7 iron, you know, goes a range of distances, you know, and your 7 iron might be your 155 or 160 club, and your full 9 iron is, let's say, your 120 to 130 club. But when you get into those partial shots, let's say under 100 yards, it It requires more touch and more practice. And if we're not hitting it solid, it's very difficult to calibrate those distances. So you really have to get out. And your number one priority when working on the short game is you've got to make reasonably consistent, solid contact. And the key to that is really getting the club to bottom out in the right place consistently. And that would be when any shot that's hit off the ground, we have to hit with a descending blow. So the club is actually, the low point of the swing is actually in front of the ball. So for a right-handed player on the left side of the ball. So once we have, when we're making reasonably consistent solid contact, when we're getting the club to bottom out in the same place, then it's much easier to calibrate those distances because we're making good ball turf contact. And let's say we're making a waist-high to waist-high swing, that's going to go a certain yardage for us. And that yardage is going to be unique to you. And as we increase the length and the pace of the swing, that ball is going to go longer. If we make a shorter swing, it's going to go shorter. But once you can hit it reasonably consistently solid, and from time to time we have to get back to that, then that distance control becomes much, much easier.
Getting the knack with whatever it takes, 100 swings to get maybe the bottom of the club there 75 times?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
That would improve your game, that's for sure.
Yeah, big time.
Chris, all right, thanks for taking the time. Next week we'll have, obviously, the results of the 3M when we meet, so that'll be a lot of fun. Another good show.
Thanks, Mac.
That's Chris Foley. I'm Mac. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Craigan's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. We now return to our regularly scheduled program at the Lake Sports Talk 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.